The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord comes from the book of Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the sixth chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's be honest. Sometimes we pastors take for granted that everyone is familiar with what we're talking about and completely following what we're saying. We go on about transubstantiation and substitutionary atonement and Arianism versus partialism, and we assume that everyone's with us, when in reality they're nodding politely and thinking about what the next season of The Mandalorian might be like. But it's not always just the highfalutin big words and the tiny minor details that we wrongly assume everybody knows about. Sometimes even the very basics of the faith need to be explained, either because people have never heard them before, because everybody assumed they knew, or because they haven't thought about them for a while. And so today, instead of just tuning things out because you know it all already, or because you think it's beyond your grasp, instead of today just being the something-something of our something, let's honestly consider what the baptism of our Lord truly means. What does Jesus' baptism mean? Well, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, God himself incarnate in our flesh, comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. Matthew and Luke tell us that John rightly recognized that Jesus had no sin to be cleansed of and would have not baptized Jesus if it was his choice, but Jesus insists. And as he rises from the water, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove, and the voice of God the Father declares from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Well, those are the facts. That's what happened. But what does the baptism of our Lord really mean? Well, this was not God choosing Jesus and informing him that he's the Messiah now as if he didn't know already. Some people say this was like the messianic lottery, and Jesus entered the waters and God's like, "Ooh, that one, he's mine." And Jesus came out and was shocked by the whole thing. This was not just a public proclamation and a pep rally to kick off Jesus' ministry either. Just a proclamation to the world that now's the time for my Messiah to start his work, and now that you've heard God proclaim him, now you really better listen to him. No, it's far more than that. When Jesus entered into the baptismal waters in the Jordan, what he did was something that lasted for all eternity. It wasn't just a one-time deal. It wasn't just for those people way back then. It was for all people, for all times. When Jesus entered the baptismal waters of the Jordan, he sanctified the waters of all baptism, giving baptism its power. Which then begs the question, what exactly is the power of baptism? I mean, we talk about baptism a lot. We begin our services in remembrance of it. We keep the font here in front of the altar to constantly remind ourselves of it. We're acknowledging our congregation's baptismal birthdays in our prayers instead of our earthly birthdays beginning this year. And so, obviously, baptism's kind of important. But what does your baptism mean? Well, because Jesus entered and sanctified the waters of baptism with his baptism, your baptism truly has godly and eternal power to it. Baptism is not your work. It is not something that you do, choosing Jesus, coming forward, dedicating your life to him. Baptism is not a public proclamation of your faith. Baptism is not just a convenient way to introduce cute babies to the congregation and to get their names on the membership list. Baptism is eternal and powerful and something that we should never take for granted. In baptism, you are cleansed of all of your sin. All of your sin. You know, sometimes we kind of get the idea that baptism covers up the sinful nature or the sins that we aren't really aware of, but it's up to us through repentance and through fixing our lives and through doing penance and everything to take care of all those conscious sins that we commit. But that's not the case. In baptism, you, a sinner to the core, are clothed with Jesus Christ's own robe of righteousness and perfection. You are declared holy, innocent of all sin. In the waters of baptism, your old self is drowned and you arise a new creation. Not a creation that never again sins, because that's not possible this side of heaven. Your sinful nature is always with you, always striving with you, and fighting and trying to convince you that it and it alone is right. But in baptism, you are made a new creation that no longer wants to only sin. A new creation that actually has the capability of recognizing and avoiding sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are made able to do God-pleasing things, not by your own works, but by the Holy Spirit who now dwells within you because of baptism. Baptism washes all of your sin away completely, makes you clean and spotless like Jesus Christ himself, because it is his robe of righteousness that you are given in those waters. But you see, your sin, as it's washed away in baptism, it doesn't just hang out and sit there in the water. Sin has to be accounted for, has to be atoned for. That sin has to go somewhere. And so thankfully, there is someone else who has joined you in the waters of baptism. All your sin, all your guilt, all your wrongdoing, every single trespass that you ever have, currently are, and ever will commit, all of it was washed off of you and washed onto Jesus Christ. He who was perfect and holy and without sin or blemish and had no need of baptism to wash his sin away, he entered the waters of baptism for you. Because we sinners needed him there with us to take our sins upon himself. Water itself, it can do nothing to wash away our sins. No matter how grand the ceremony might be, no matter how special and pure the water might be, it is worthless without Jesus Christ. It is the presence of Jesus in those baptismal waters, his willingness to exchange places with us, to give us his holiness, and to take up our sin. That's what makes baptism, baptism. Baptism, as Luther says, is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. And because Jesus Christ our Lord, the Word made flesh, entered into those waters, baptism is not just plain water, but rather the eternal washing of regeneration, the means of grace by which Jesus Christ cleanses you of your sin and takes it all upon himself. And having taken all your sin in that miraculous washing, our Lord Jesus Christ then rose up from the waters of baptism to begin his journey to the cross. Under the staggering weight of the sins of the world, the sins that you committed, Jesus walked on, resolutely setting his face to Jerusalem, where he knew that agony and mockery and death awaited him, because our sin could only be paid for in blood. Perfect blood, holy blood, God's own blood. That's the cost of sin. That's the only payment sufficient to set us free and ransom us from the devil. And so Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, took all of our sin upon himself and offered himself up to death in our place, the Lamb who willingly became our substitute to die for us. He suffered the pain and agony that should have been ours forever. He endured the hell that we deserved as God the Father turned his back on God the Son and the wretched sin that he had become. He was crucified, died, and was buried, not because of anything that he had done, but because of all of the sin that you committed. And he willingly, lovingly paid your penalty in full, canceled your insurmountable debt to God, and set you free from the fires of hell that your sin deserved. In the waters of baptism, you are joined with Jesus Christ in his death to sin, forever set free from its eternal consequences by his act of mercy and grace. And as Paul says, if you are joined to him in his death, you are certainly joined to him in his resurrection as well. Washed clean of all of your sin, proclaimed holy, innocent, and righteous in the eyes of God, you have not just a vague hope, but the absolute guarantee of everlasting life in heaven. Joined to Jesus Christ in the holy waters of baptism, you will be where he is forever in his heavenly kingdom. This is what your baptism does for you. Jesus Christ gave up everything to cleanse you, to set you free from sin, death, and the devil, to give you the eternal paradise of heaven. He sacrificed everything to give you everything. And that is why we joyfully call him our Lord. But again, what does it mean that Jesus is your Lord? It means that his word rules in your life. Not like a tyrant or a dictator who proclaims, you better do this or else. Not like a terrible, wretched monster who says, you better do what I say or I will never let you into heaven. No, we joyfully recognize God's word for what it is, the word of eternal life that works in us the greatest good. His word protects us from pain and heartache and suffering, all the things that sin wants to infect our lives with. His word gives us comfort and certainty and peace in the midst of a troubling and chaotic and violent world. His word guides us through all the traps and the snares that the devil has laid in our path to snag us and drag us back down to hell. His word makes us stand out from the darkness of this world so that we can be his ambassadors, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in everything that we do, think, and say, not getting mired down in the stupid little things of this world, but bringing his light and mercy and peace and grace into the lives of all those around us so that they too may have the joy of knowing Jesus as their Lord. We joyfully obey God as our Lord, not out of fear and terror, not to try to get into heaven, but in joyful recognition that he has our best interest in mind, that he is our loving heavenly Father, and that his word alone endures forever. And it is a joy for us to publicly proclaim him as our Lord, because his word proclaims that heaven is our eternal home. Here on earth, we will suffer because of sin, and we will suffer for calling Jesus our Lord. We will be mocked as stuffy old goody two-shoes. We will be hated as bigoted, closed-minded hate-mongers. We may even be killed as the world becomes more and more hostile to the eternal truth of God's word. And yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, still we stand firm. Still we boldly proclaim Jesus to be our Lord, because even if we lose everything in this world, we have lost nothing at all. The love of Jesus Christ, it fills our lives, no matter how wicked and awful this world might get. The word of our Lord guides us and guards us, even if things don't go exactly the way that we think they should, that we expect them to, or the way we want them to. The gift of our baptism, it cleanses us throughout all of our days, giving us absolute assurance that even when we lie down in the sleep of death, heaven is our eternal home. This is what the baptism of our Lord is all about. He sanctified the waters of baptism, giving his holy presence. He gave us the eternal gift of our own baptism. He took our sins upon himself to suffer and die and rise again to give us the eternal victory. Because his baptism sanctifies and empowers our baptism, we rejoice that we are able to call him our Lord, willingly obeying his word, recognizing the love that is contained in that word, living by his statutes, trusting in his mercy and grace. It's more than just a something. The baptism of our Lord, our own baptism, the love that our Lord has so graciously given to us, it is everything. For by his cross alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.